Okay, we are back on.
Okay. So just a few tips on this. This is just an exercise for fun, right? So don't get hung up on some part of this that's too complex. Just, you're trying to get an orientation to the components and struggle through some of the language that we have here and think about how you can reframe that to fit in, into this kind of precise language that we're moving towards. So, Ron is been designated your tactic lead. So,
awesome.
And we're resources too, Helen and Tom and I. There are things that we can do.
Well, don't be running off.
We need all the resources we can get.
Helen, you're our institutional knowledge.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So
my thought is we need to find something.
Something discreet, right?
In here. Maybe not too large and big, and let's see if we can apply.
Well, I think we all probably agree that communications is one of our challenges as an organization. Maybe we can choose something around community and family engagement.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I like it.
Brad, because that's high on our priority list.
Yes.
Right? So.
Strategy one. Tactic. So the strategy would be empower to educate, inspire to learn. The tactic is family and community engagement, or do we want to get more specific for the tactic around family and community engagement?
I'd like to do both of them. I'd like to do social, emotional, and physical wellness. That's a big, huge case of beans.
Huge.
Okay, no, well, I'm just kidding. Let's do community engagement, family.
Community engagement, so that's our, something there is what we're trying to do, right? Mm-hmm. So do we want to go from there to some kind of a SMART goal related to community engagement?
Well, I would not want to skip the team and the theory of change statement.
Okay.
Right.
So remember, it's an if-then statement. If we do something, then what we expect.
Then what do we expect?
Okay. Let's make a run at that.
All right. Okay, I'm going to look at the bullet points under the strategic plan's actions, and maybe we can choose one of them that we think we can create an if-then theory of change.
And just as to interject, I tried to do what I'm asking you guys to do. One of the struggles is that this was not created with the deliverology framework in mind. So you have strategy,
it's
you have tactic, you have milestones, you have leading indicators, all weaved in
there. Right.
And a lot of it's missing entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what about develop? Could we do something with develop partnerships with community groups and businesses to enhance student learning experiences?
Sure.
Is that?
So if you develop?
If we develop partnerships with community groups and businesses to enhance student learning experiences, then?
Then what happens?
Can we go and city leaders?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's not limit it.
Businesses and city leaders.
I think of community groups as including civic, volunteer.
Okay.
So you would just call it.
Yep, I agree.
If we develop partnerships with community organizations,
then what
happens?
So this is for me where it gets interesting because I have seen some of the work that's being done in some of our schools with business partners, for example. I know Alameda's IB program, Career Pathways, they have some relationships with businesses in health fields. So is our aim, is the if-then, is the then students will be exposed to career paths? Is it something measurable?
Well, there's kind of a scaffold that goes in between the if and the then there.
Right. Developing the partnership versus having something that students specifically. Or do we want to say then coalitions for supporting a mill and bond will develop? Do you know what I'm saying? Are we aiming for something that is student learning centered, or are we aiming for something
that's
community?
A good point. We have to define what our aim is.
Yeah, what's our aim?
Right. And at what level that aim is.
Well, is our
if
aim.
If it's about children, that's one thing. If it's about developing community support for any number of reasons, that's a different level.
That's a different issue. So for me, I say, because we're talking about a strategic plan focused on the 2020 vision for kids, I say it's about kids.
So, okay, so not adequate
but
resources to educate kids?
Yes.
I mean, that's...
Well, this is where, for me, I think of if-then statements almost syllogistically. And if I don't see that you can assume you'll build support, for me, the then has to be, this is what we expect to get out of it.
Okay.
And my expectation is we could say students will have some exposure to career pathways. That, to me, is something we can design for, whereas those organizations will support our next attempt to invest
that.
In our schools. I don't think we can guarantee that. So that, for me, is where we land on the work for kids.
I think this becomes a tactic, and we have to figure out what the strategy is first.
Yeah.
So is the strategy oriented around...
Educate and learn.
Educating the child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is a career pathway. Let's develop career pathways for our children.
This is a great point. So you have to decide which strategy does this fit under.
That's right.
If it's under student learning, then,
if it were leadership development for all stakeholders, it maybe would be different.
If it fits under student learning, then your then statement should lead kind of towards some kind of student learning. However, if it leads toward kind of community engagement, if you have a strategy around that, then I think you can go toward no bond, that kind of stuff.
Right.
So it really depends on what strategy is this driving toward.
And you can have one tactic that serves multiple strategies.
Correct.
Well,
that's what we're about to do.
This could,
let's focus on one.
We need to focus on one, and I'm wondering if we should focus on not the child. That's going to get complex. Doing community partnerships and tying them to the child, I think, is going to be... It's going to take us a while. Not that it's impossible, but we'd have to go into that career pathways and apprenticeships and those kinds of things, I think. So I'm wondering if we should...
But since the action lives within that strategy.
Well, there will be lots of different tactics under a strategy. All we need to do is choose one.
Right.
Okay, but I can go either direction, frankly. If we're talking about community engagement and support of our fiscal challenges, that's a different sort of messaging and it's a different sort of contact.
Well, and I'm starting to imagine the need for things like the graduation guidelines that are coming up to be built into this.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine if the then is, then student, if we develop partnerships, then students will access college, career, and life pathways. And then a SMART goal could be oriented around, we will confirm a certain number of seniors, a certain number of students are enrolled in fall education beyond high school, whether that's an apprenticeship or an associate's degree or a four-year college, that there is some measure that says we are aiming to know students have been fully engaged so that they have somewhere that we're launching them to something.
They have a target.
And we're confirming that their education has aided that. That was where I was headed with it.
With the student
concept. So how many of these typically, because I feel like those are very, I feel like it's kind of a narrow focus.
It is narrow, but I also think it already aligns with what we do for board ends and measurables related to graduation rates, but it says what's the next step, which is if we have kind of this sense of competencies that are about readiness for life and success in life, this is a way to confirm that it doesn't just, that we've accomplish some things around self-direction and personal responsibility and civic and global engagement and academic mastery.
So just to interject to sort of facilitate / cram you guys toward consensus, because this is just an exercise, right? You don't have to figure out. Is this the big thing or not? I think the example that you gave around if we develop sort of community business partnerships, then we'll be able to expand career apprenticeship options or opportunities, clear enough. So for this purpose, it works.
It works. Okay.
And you might be, as a community, you know, you might say, this is a big thing for us. We want to do this. But, you know, to Allie's point, it might not. It may be that there's something broader. We don't have to resolve that now, but,
okay.
but just for the sake of the exercise. Yeah.
If we build healthy relationships with our
We just wrote communities.
We develop partnerships, then students will be.
Pathway. Career pathways, pathway. Career and life pathways or opportunities on. Yeah.
Expanded. Okay.
Expanded career pathways. Yeah. Well, and yeah. So do you want us to articulate a SMART goal? Or
yeah. Okay. So how are you going to measure that? Yeah. That's the SMART goal question.
Okay.
So we're still on number one. What are we trying to do?
So one of the things I know we hear about from schools is that they, oh, this is how many dollars students received in scholarships, the graduating class. I would assume that school counselors are learning what it is students intend to do next. Do we want to make the SMART goal centered around survey self-reporting kind of thing? Can students articulate what they're doing in the fall? Or do we want it to be something that's a little bit firmer than that? Students have identified and maybe connected with. I don't know.
We could even go into a specific program, i.e. like students are involved in some kind of business exposure out in the community, and we could you know, we could actually measure the
number of students
who are participating in
apprenticeships, internships, experiential
internship was the word I was looking for.
And it would
for.
Be during their senior year or subsequent?
Sometime so, in high school, sometime in the summer.
So our goal is then that all students would...
Or grow the number of students.
We would increase the number of students who are involved
so now
in
into
by
the SMART
internships.
Right, specific, yeah. measurable...
Agreed upon, realistic, time-based.
And this is where I don't know how many do it now.
And that's the struggle I always have. How far do you stretch that? How do you get to realistic versus vague? And, you know, if everything's
so
attainable,
where
then you're really
your
not
benchmarking is useful,
stretching.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can look at what's our current level of performance,
yeah.
what's a system that we think is good.
Right.
How
that's where we don't have our data, but I...
And we don't know
what our baseline is yet.
Yeah.
So we can just make some... For purposes of this, let's say a goal can be...
Your high school kids...
I want 40% of our graduates to have participated
in some kind of a business internship program.
Yeah.
Right.
Intensive career pathway.
Well, and I don't want to say business only. I want to say that they've experienced.
No, I'm making my goal here. What are you trying to say?
You don't get to read a fine Brad's goal.
Broad enough for it to be within with an organization outside of the schools.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, with a community organization outside the school.
Yeah. Whether that's a business or a
community
city.
Business.
Yeah. So Helen, we said...
it doesn't sound like
that. Brad's a community. Brad's a community guy.
So what we said, you're missing a couple parts now. So the SMART goal, remember, is specific. If we say increase the number or percentage, that's pretty specific.
Number or percentage.
So we said 40%, let's
yes.
say.
Completely.
Your time-bound point, so by when?
Oh, well, and this is where
by 2025,
where are we now?
Well,
right?
Graduating class of 2018.
Yeah. Let's assume we have 5%
right.
of our
Let's give us 3 years.
So to move from 5 to 40, 3 years.
I'm kind of liking the 10%. But
aspirational.
Well, that's the question.
High
really
expertise.
Aspirational? I'm not.
Yeah.
So as your high school kid, we have like 20,000 kids in high school.
Well, and this
so.
Is where for me, I'm like, why 40%? Why not 100%? This is where I think of the open school, and all of the students have some experiential learning where they're
required.
I believe we are moving towards this, though.
Yes.
I really do. I believe that we have more partnerships, which expands the opportunities, and or we're doing it on site through clubs, through volunteer opportunities, through work. People are working. Mm-hmm. That is another way of getting there. That's expansive. But I do
volunteer requirements for high school are helping
us.
Other
ways of credit hours through volunteer, through internships, through
apprenticeships, time. Apprenticeships, and internships are helping us.
The time bound. So we could do one of two things. We could say, what do we want 1 year of incremental growth to be? increase by a certain percentage?
You'll get to that later. So later on, you're going to, a later component is a trajectory.
Okay.
So you're going to be able to mark out how much progress you think. So right now, you're trying to say, what is it that we want to accomplish?
If we're 5%, we want to be 40% in 3 years.
Let's go by 2021.
And that's the same year that grad guidelines will kick in.
Mm-hmm.
Which
okay.
is going to be an interesting challenge.
So increase to 40% students who have participated in a community outside organization by the year 2021, something like
now,
that.
Now, imagine there are, 6,000 seniors? 40% of that is more than 2,500 kids that we need to have enough relationships with businesses and community organizations to facilitate thousands of seniors spending hours in
if you guys were coming as my tactic team before the cabinet, I would push you and say, what do you mean by students? Is it seniors? Is it
any
secondary kids? Is it middle school kids?
That's
again, you've got to be really precise here.
I would agree. And so we take our current high school.
Well,
high school.
When they're graduating,
they will graduate.
So they could be in the age when they did.
By 2021, 40% of graduates will have had.
I think it should happen. Well, again, it's just an exercise, but I do think graduating seniors, but within the high school years, because if they're talking about the, in second grade, I did X, Y, and Z. I'm not sure that's getting us to connected to expanded career and life pathways. In a timely, I could be wrong, and probably elementary school teachers would be
during
wrong.
Their high school career. That's what I'm happy to add.
I think you're right, but I would back it up. I think we need to start that in middle school.
So I'm going to cram you guys forward because you got the concept now. You've wrestled with the theory of change. You've wrestled with the SMART goal. Let's cram forward. And now, so flip the page there, Helen, and let's talk milestones. So same tactic that you're working on. What are some
steps? How are we trying to do it?
Right?
Okay, so we need to communicate with counselors within the high schools because they have to know they have to do this. We have to build relationships with the business and other community organizations so that
so
they are
develop the
open
list
to participate.
So year one would be
connect community outreach.
And all these are 1 year, so you'll get a report on them every single year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your tactic lead should come back and tell you what they accomplished the past year and tell you what they're going to work on.
Well, and one of the things that strikes me about this and maybe many of the kinds of goals that may develop is that there will be internal milestones and external milestones.
Yeah.
This, you'd have to have internal milestones connecting students to counselors, high school advisors, whoever it is that's going to carry kind of this cohort of kids through that. And you have to connect, and who becomes the connector to all these organizations out
there? Do we leave
it
up to the kids, or is there a real...
It's got to be the school.
Denver Public Schools has 24 people, an upper admin, and that is their only job.
Yeah.
To reach out to businesses and community groups.
Well, and imagine if
principals
bring
them into our schools. Make that connection.
If principals do this, and I know that right now in Alameda, I would say probably principals and the IB coordinator are the primary connectors. Imagine being the Kiwanis in Lakewood, and you now have 20, or maybe if it's just middle school and high school, you've got seven schools saying, we want you to partner with us, we want you to partner with us. That becomes for them.
Unless you're Brad, would go, great.
Managing that is a lot.
Yeah.
And who then carries that work?
Okay.
So we have
to
create some apparatus. One is, what's a measuring device? And we should probably have a measuring device in place by the end of the current
ILP.
School year so that we have a baseline over time.
The individualized learning plan.
So in your milestone component, you should have, and we just need three or four, what's some stuff you're going to do to make that happen?
Measuring device, create relationships, so we ought to have X number of relationships with organizations created by. We need to have...
Year one, we have to identify the team of people.
Within the school
So that's a clear milestone. We're going to identify the team of people
who's
going to do the work.
Yes.
That's a
good
clear
point.
Milestone.
Yeah.
Something that you need to accomplish in order to achieve the goal.
Right.
Going to have to do something with communicate expectations.
There will be a communications person,
counselors, and the students.
With counselors and students, we have to create an expectation.
Organization know that we're doing this.
Yeah.
Well, and are we going to identify relationships developed? the parameters of the experience. Will there be a specific number of hours required? Will there be a specific number of...
Define expectations. Credit-bearing, non-credit-bearing, paid, unpaid.
Right.
Yeah, I've got to define expectations.
For I think we want to define that team of people in each school.
Right.
I can hear staff of school right now being like, oh my God,
another thing.
Well, this is so
you got to decide. This is what it takes. If you really want to accomplish the goal, you got to think all this stuff through. So either if you don't, if we don't really want to do it, then take it off the strategic plan.
Well, no, what we got to do, and honestly, and not to breach exec session, one of the things you said during our interview, which I clung on to, is when something's not working, what would you do? And your answer was, which is the perfect answer, you find out if the resources are there to allow them to do what they want to do. So this is a resource issue
we'll get to that.
We're talking about.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Okay.
So what about you have a list here.
Okay, we'll be aspirational now. Okay,
aspirational.
So what do you think about collecting data? Beginning year one, we need to begin to collect
participation data.
Thank you. Good choice.
This is participation data.
So you guys are grabbing some leading indicators too. So you've talked about in this milestones conversation, you've talked about identifying the people in the school. You've talked about defining the expectations. You probably have to start a milestone would be outreach and development of the relationships with the community. So those are milestones.
Right.
When you start going to participation data, number of current relationships, those are leading indicators.
Okay.
So see the difference?
Yep.
So they're leading indicators is data that helps predict the goal.
Right.
A milestone is something that you do.
Structural.
So you got a couple of leading indicators there, and you got a couple of milestones there. So that we can cram you guys forward again.
Yeah, sure.
All right. I think you got the concept, right?
Yeah.
Got the concept.
So given all this, then next we are trajectory.
This is year one, year two, year three. This is saying if we develop 10 relationships per, I don't know,
it's all the trajectory is all framed through the SMART goal.
Through the
SMART to your SMART goal, which was
40%.
To 40%.
So we climb from 5 to 40.
Right. So year one you have a pilot, or year two you have a pilot school because year one you're doing the design work. So
year two you have you're doing several pilot schools,
and then year
two or three
you expand and evaluate.
But it's already happening now. So why
So Alameda is a pilot school already, right?
Well, there are other Green Ridges,
absolutely.
Yeah, and then I don't know what it's then sharing so that we're not all then doing the same thing. It's taking that resource and sharing it, growing it, and we grow by number of participants, by number of community engaged people, number of, so is are we trying to take that and then grow it within the school, or are we trying to keep growing with more community people coming into it?
First of all, we already assessed what we have and who's in it, right?
The assumption
so year one, we should compare how many more we have, what percentage, as far as organizations. There you go, that's exactly it.
So if our goal is 40, we don't know where we're starting.
5, 50,
which is a problem.
So let's make a guess. How many kids do you
12.
Think? We're at 12%. Okay.
Is this as a system or for high school?
I don't think we're collecting. Well, this is where you have to define it. I bet we have a lot of kids that are doing, like, does this mean
and we don't even,
church stuff?
We don't even know it.
And we don't even know it.
We'll go with 12 for now.
We're just not asking.
Yeah. All right, 12, and our goal is 40.
So now you've got to figure out what your pace is. Right?
So what's the trajectory?
So some of these are linear. Some of these are, like, what is sort of parabolic or whatever. So
but you need another one for businesses or whatever, community groups.
Because you may be building capacity and you expect it to kick up, like hockey stick at the end.
Yeah.
You know, you may have a lot of capacity or energy that you're planning to put into it at the front, so it bumps up and then it slowly climbs. So this is the discussion around what you're
doing. I will tell you, I would want you and the organization to tell me what we should expect on this.
Yeah, but you're the tactic team now, so you got to tell
correct.
Me.
We're doing this.
I'm part of that team.
It's really not fair because we're not very tactical or smart.
I don't know
the kind of curve, but I think it goes up as time goes on because getting it cranked up in the beginning and finding out how to measure it, it's going to go like that to hit the 40%.
Yeah.
So this is your thing. Here's your current level of performance. Here's your goal. And so every year, the tactic lead's going to come in and present to you. Here's where we are. So you're going to be able to see it over time.
And then they'll discuss the milestones.
And we're probably measuring both the number of community organizations that kids are involved with and the number of students who are participating.
Well, now I want to clarify one thing that I think becomes challenging. There are students who already have relationships and experiences that the school is not delivering to them. And I wouldn't want to limit that. If it's Boy Scouts and Eagle Scouts, if it's a church organization, if we're clear about what we want them to experience, then I wouldn't want to say you can only do it with these 10 organizations. That puts serious burden on the system to develop those relationships. I would be broad in which organizations people are connecting with. But there would be some fostered relationships. We would probably connect with the Arvada Food Bank or the Chamber.
Or businesses, any number of businesses.
The Chamber.
Well, and if, if students began to sort of take credit for being involved in their church or being involved in Boy Scouts, that becomes another reason why that curve is, why participation is going to go up as we go down the road.
Right. And you connect them with the engineering group that's going to come in, and the Boy Scouts are going to build an outdoor amphitheater at the school. You've made multiple levels of connection, bringing the community in, taking a community group that exists, and moving towards a common goal that benefits the school.
And I think it also really becomes critical that you define well. If this is supposed to be an exposure to a career pathway, it can't just be hanging out with your youth group, or it has to be some specific.
And it's measurable in your capstone.
Yeah, it's got to be a quality, and we have to define
presentation.
There you go.
Improvement to the school. That we have 15 ways that we demonstrate that, but there has to be a demonstrable educational product.
Growth and opportunity.
Cramming you guys forward again.
Sorry, I'm going to do that with scholarships.
Now, Dr. Glass.
I really would like to see us capture not just scholarship dollars, but students that Jeffco sees receiving scholarships. Yeah. Because I don't think that's information we track yet. We're noticing how much is being received, but not how many kids. Mm-hmm. And knowing just the cost of accessing post-high school is high, it's something that is worth paying attention
to. So you may have
There might be a
That's a learner-centered sort of strategy. You may have a tactic around increasing the number of scholarships or early college credits that we have, right? So something like
Which feeds well into things like graduation guidelines, which are already coming our way anyway.
So here's our heat map. We don't have green, so we're going to go without it. So it's kind of like as the colors get hotter, right? So black, no heat, blue, orange, and then
red. So red is good?
Red is bad. So if you look at the implementation heat map, red, highly problematic. It requires urgent and decisive action. Yellow, or this will be the orange one, right, is amber red, which is problematic, requires substantial attention. Some aspects need urgent attention. Mixed is going to be the blue. Oh, great. Well, we've got a green, don't we? We can drop out the black. Mixed is going to be the blue, which is require aspects require substantial attention, but there are some good things. And then green requires refinement and systemic implementation. Things are basically going well. So, thinking about your tactic around if we increase family, community engagement, or partnerships, if we develop partnerships with the community, then students will be connected to expanded career and life pathways. How are we doing on planning?
Today?
Yeah.
Are we in the red for everything right now?
Red on that.
Right, we have a
Well, here's the deal. My hope is
we're a little weak.
There will be some school communities that have a different heat map.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're thinking at the system level. So you have some places, right? We'll go back to this. Require substantial attention. Some aspects need urgent attention. All right, so let's give that an orange. And this is a subjective, right?
Yep.
So, but we're trying to get an honest conversation going from the tactical lead back to you around how things are going. Right, so they're going to go. I'm going to give myself an orange here. So capacity. That means what's the resources, time, people, expertise that you have within the organization or within the community to pull this off.
Well, in terms of measurement, I think a lot of our principals are already collecting much of this information because at graduations we heard them talk about how many kids were going to college, how many kids were doing other activities. I think some of that's already being done.
So you got some of it in buildings.
So orange as well.
I think we also have some.
It's orangey red.
I think it's kind of reddish.
Orangey red. That's amber red.
It's orangey red.
I think it's there, but I just don't know that we really.
When I think about capacity right now, whatever is being planned and implemented is happening within the current constraints. without any additional time, resources, or a definition of a team. For me, that puts capacity at red.
Okay. So this is, you know, red is highly, this red is highly problematic. Orange is problematic.
All right. Problematic's okay.
Problematic. We're problematic. We don't have those 24 administrators that Denver has yet.
And they never.
Evidence of progress. Right? We're starting in our first year. We don't have any evidence of progress. We have, we don't think we've done anything yet. So we're going to give ourselves a red on that one.
Since we just invented it, we would expect that.
Likelihood of success? How do we think we're going to pull this off?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's good.
That's a green.
Oh, okay. We think we're really on
I think it's doable.
We'll see how you feel after
the right work.
The likelihood.
Yeah.
The reason it's good is because it's a good idea.
It's
a great idea.
We're not in the trenches. Buy-in from so many places.
It's going to be incredible.
So you got your heat map now. Now we're on the last
Now make it happen.
Y'all are making me feel very glass half empty.
So what are the challenges that thinking about where we currently are, what are the challenges that we face?
Resources.
Structural organization. I mean, if we talk about doing this within a typical school day.
That's resources to me.
We have a school day that isn't akin to this kind of work. Mm-hmm. So we're then assuming that students somehow are doing this after school hours, but wait, some of them work jobs, and some of them are in sports or band or... We have structural issues.
Implementation.
We have those. We have adding one more thing. We have the whole issue of adding one more thing.
Scheduling relationship, lack of the abundance of relationships you really need, right, for this.
This is like high school advisor.
What other stuff stands in the way of accomplishing that? We've got to get to 40% in 3 years or 4 years.
Schedule. So this for me is, and this may be part of resources, but people, who becomes the point person for
the
student?
In school.
Is this something counselors carry, advisor teacher carries?
Can we add it to existing staff workload?
Or does it require something?
Or do we need additional support?
Right. Systemic plan of action is necessary.
Your milestones and your leading indicators, like you are developing sort of that. Like you're getting to that. But at this point, I think it's good criticism right now.
Because we're just expecting the principals right now to do it.
Right.
And that's not going to work.
And you got to have student and family buy-in on it. I mean, they're going to have to get to these places. They're going to have to value it. I don't know.
An extensive communication plan.
Yeah.
Great. So good on the challenges, and then the challenges you've identified. This helps you sort of when the staff present the challenges they have. It also can lead them into the resources they need. Mm-hmm. So it could be that they say, you know, whoever we assign to this goes, I'm one person, and this is part of my job. This is a massive thing that you guys have asked me to do. And it's not going to happen if it's just me. So they're going to say, I need more personnel in this. They may also say, I'm, you know, some mid-level district employee, and I can't get into the businesses. Yeah. I don't have the relationship. So I need the superintendent. I need the board to put the political chutzpah to get me in to some of these meetings and introduce me to people. So that may be something that they say they need. Mm-hmm. So those would be some examples of resources that people will refer.
I want to articulate what I see as a challenge, and that is I think it's connected to the family and student buy-in. When I think of the open school, students are doing kind of experiential projects, multiple ones. When it comes to implementing this at scale, having a sense of maybe philosophical understanding of what it is and isn't meant to do, so that this doesn't feel like tracking, this doesn't feel like connecting some kids, assuming some kids are college bound and some kids aren't. Making sure that this is about the experience of engaging and understanding something. It's not a check the box, nor is it meant to narrow what a person is aspiring for, but it really is meant to expand what a student is aspiring for, and just having that philosophical framework of what it is that we're attempting to do. Notice, I just articulated my philosophical framework that I think it should be, which is expanding, not narrowing. Some would say, no, I want the kids to walk away knowing better what they think they're.
So, in lieu of that, are you saying that this is for everyone, even college-bound kids? Because then our 40% is
too low. Yeah. So I don't want to say that I know the answer to that yet. What I think about when I think about those grad guidelines is that there will be some mm-hmm. students that check off every box, right? They've got the AP right. course plus the IB plus Correct. The AP. They're going to have all of those boxes checked. And I still would love for them to have done a capstone project because that's a different thing. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I think of, say, the capstone project, I think of that as something that will fulfill the grad requirements for some kids, but I'd rather have all Jeffco kids going through that process. Yeah. That's my personal opinion or perspective. It will look very different for kids because it's customized.
Something we need to define.
Yeah, and so the answer to that maybe would grow out of things like the definition and the expectations and
yeah, that there's educational value for all types of students.
I guess this is evolving.
Right. So congratulations, you've done your first stock take.
Wow.
Right.
So there are only about 3,000 more.
Yeah. Really.
Yeah. Well, it really depends on how complicated your strategic plan is. So, you know, looking ahead, where I'd like to move the board and get some feedback from you on is the work that the staff and the cabinet and the board is doing on a regular basis is this kind of work, where you're really talking about here's what we're trying to accomplish. How are we trying to do it? How are mm-hmm. we doing? And what are we going to do about it if we're not? Mm-hmm. And that's it. Like that's what we're spending time in board meetings doing. So a lot of the stuff that you do in board meetings around recognizing people, doing budget stuff that's sort of routine and you have to do, or that we want to do to acknowledge great things that happen in the community, we're going to continue to do those. But we need to, I think, refocus our time around, again, we're high-level system leaders. How's our system doing? What do we want to accomplish as a system? So I don't know, reflections, thoughts about this process and what you thought about it.
I appreciate the focus that it forces and the realism or maybe pragmatism that it requires.
I think it's going to take a while to figure out how to do it with some efficiency as well. Obviously, having someone guide us and keep us on track. I mean, just in terms of conceptually, it's great, but efficiency-wise, maybe that gets, with time, it gets easier.
I think this particular structure is going to be new to the system. However, it's really not new in terms of, look, we have set goals. We have set milestones. We are tracking many things. So we might be shuffling around a little bit in terms of definitions and procedures, but this isn't really new stuff. It's packaged in a slightly different way. That's fine.
Yeah.
I also think that there has to be room for exposing us to new ideas so that we can add to what's happening here. We ought to be asking outside resources to introduce us to new ways of thinking about how we're doing our work.
That what you said around routine or procedure is the key element here. So it's a discipline. It's discipline to keep coming back to this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the things that you wrote down, you really get provided clarity to the organization around what you mean by that, and we're serious about tracking it and following it. There's accountability. This is an accountability system too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you have someone that comes in and after 2 years later you got a flat line and you provided them resources, there are some tough questions that have to be answered.
What I like about this is that... Can I go ahead?
No, go ahead.
It's pretty much exactly what's happening in the classroom. This is what a teacher goes through every day. And this is, to me, is a cycle. This is not a linear, and this is also a, you know, how do we get back on track? Do we need to steer a little differently and go this way? And this is evolving, is I guess what I'm trying to say, right? This is not, you know, we might say all that, but then in 6 months we might say, oh God, 40%, forget it, that's chopping our foot off. Or, you know, that's not enough, let's go to 60. These schools are cranking this out. I think checkpoints, constant checkpoints, right, throughout this process. And I mean, it's evolving, so you can, can you change any of your statements here?
Yes.
Or?
Yeah, over time you do.
Okay.
And it helps, especially on the theory of change at the front end. You do a lot of revisiting that, because you start keep coming back to them and you go, well, that's not what we really meant, or this is, we weren't clear about what our aspiration really was. Here's what it really is, and so that compels the whole thing. This is the system by which you keep your strategic plan a living, breathing document too. So at least once a year, you should step back and look at the whole strategic plan and evaluate the language that's in it. Which there may be things that you accomplished that fall off, right? That were time bound, sort of. There may be things that are ongoing too.
So then my next question was, and I'm glad you brought it up, is this to be more aspirational? Because a SMART goal should be more realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What?
The strategy and the tactics should be aspirational. They should define what your aspiration is. The SMART goal should be realistic. Like, here's what we think we can accomplish with the resources and time that we have. I mean, that should stretch people. When we talk about stretch goals in deliverology, you want to push people and push the organization. But you don't want to also NCLB it, right? Say everything's 100% all the time.
Right.
Because that's not realistic either. So we found, and we use this process in Eagle, that the benchmarking element was really important, because you have to look at what other systems are doing, and that helps get you the, here's the goal that we want to shoot for.
So, Jason, I have a question. You know, organizationally, from a system point of view, you know, how many of these things can be going on at one time? Are we tying this deliverology specifically to a strategic plan?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And so it makes me think that we want to pare that strategic plan down to a smaller number of things.
Right.
Because I don't think I can tolerate rephrase. I don't think I can wrap my mind around 20 of these.
Yeah. A repeated theme in this book has been the importance of focusing on the small number of goals that are easy to understand, have broad acceptance, and mm-hmm. can be used at the center of an improvement strategy.
Okay.
There's 11 words.
Okay. So
my hope is that this process would also hold value for at the school level for decisions that are made, both within internally for the principal and staff, as well as teaming with the parent organizations. And that might be a way that JEFCO 2020, or whatever it ends up being named, lives in the experience of students and families and their learning, and is understood and understandable, because it guides the work, it drives the work,
right.
Which I think is good news.
One of the exercises that we do every year, one of the exercises all districts do, is the Unified Improvement Plan and following up on that. And that's a systemic approach to problem solving. But frankly, it seems to be a very cumbersome, time-intensive, not very productive exercise.
Well, I think it has some of these same elements. It requires the schools to identify who's owning this, mm-hmm. who does the work, what is the 1-3-year goal.
And I guess my point is
some of it's
that
similar.
Sometimes
it
the system can become more important than the actual function of it, which is to actually get to some improvement. I want to make sure that we don't create a system that's more cumbersome than the task that we're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and if this is done well, my hope is, and I think Helen articulated it well, that her experience has been to work hard to make the work of organizations like JEFCO Schools easier, better, mm-hmm. smoother, seamless. My hope is, my test maybe, is that this isn't burdensome, but leads to that sense of efficacy. I cannot say with any level of confidence that will be everybody's first thought, because we've lived with unified improvement plans for a lot of years. And the reality is, in general, we see small shifts in outcomes.
Yeah, the UIPs and the school improvement plans should adapt to match the same sort of practice.
Mm-hmm.
This is a new practice, right? So we're going to be asking organization people in organizations to really define what they're doing, how they're going to know when they get there, and then to stand accountable for that. So the conversations that we have at the cabinet level around each tactic or strategy will range from 30 minutes to an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. We're getting into a lot of detail. When they come to you, we will narrow them, because there's a lot of stuff when the board meeting that we need to get you guys through. They'll be 15 or 20 minutes where you'll have this sort of precision.
So talk to me about if it's all working well, as this process develops and the strategies, tactics, leading, and all of that kind of starts to move, what would you expect to see happening for students and teachers in classrooms that's different or better or supported or celebrated as a result of that work?
It depends on the strategy or tactic, because some of them are going to be things that we can implement fairly quickly. They're going to be more sort of mechanical or technical changes. So we may say, you know, by 2020, we're going to have revised all of the tasks that are within the Bridge to Curriculum system to clearly identify a competency or a skill. There's no purely content-based tasks in there. We're not doing column addition without also doing collaboration or something creative or something, some kind of critical.
So
what you'd match over time is in the year one, how many of those have been revised? 30%. Year two, 60%. Year three, 90%.
So then let me ask you this question, because some of that work sounds like it would live at the district level rather than at each individual school doing that in a disconnected way. I know that our schools and staff have worked hard to develop professional learning communities, and that is work that feels like it's valued when it's done well. The teachers really appreciate it. Does this connect with that? Does this?
So you would have probably a strategy around educators or professional educators, and underneath that strategy you'd have a tactic around some kind of empowered professional learning community, collaborative learning. There's a lot of terms for it, but we want to clean that up where it's clear what we're talking about. But it's the same kind of stuff. So that's going to be the tactic. And then you'd have underneath that some measure of how many schools are doing that well, or maybe even an implementation measure, right, where you're having a principal self-reflect on a rubric around how well are we doing this, or maybe even staff feedback about how well we're doing this. So within that, you've got an educator quality kind of strategy, you have a professional learning community tactic, you have a SMART goal around how many schools are doing that, and then you have a bunch of leading indicators that tell us, do staff at the school think that that's relevant and valuable? We may have an implementation rubric that looks at some quality elements and schools self-reflect around how well that's doing. So that's how you take sort of a school level one and put it into this.
And so that would, as I'm hearing that creates that opening for the feedback loop, so that teachers can receive the direction from those strategies, tactics, and goals, but also provide kind of reflective at the ground level, this is what's working and not working, back to the system adjust or not.
One of the things that we started doing with this, and the folks at the Education Delivery Institute, that nonprofit in Washington that works on all this stuff, helped us think about with an Eagle, was bringing some people who are in the work up close to come and talk to the board as part of the process. So you have three or four teachers that are doing PLCs in schools to come and tell you the full story. So you're not just getting whitewashed.
And the full story, which is important to us to be able to hear what's working and what can we celebrate, but also what...
Right. If we're just whitewashing it and it's not an honest conversation about where we really are, what our challenges are, and what we're going to do, we might as well not do it.
Yeah, I truly want you to remember that. Because I
So I'm assuming these, as Brad was...
Thank you.
Getting to... would be our strategies tactic, would be a part of the UIP, which means our budgeting would follow suit as far as providing resources.
You start shifting, we're probably 2 years away from that, but you shift your budgeting priorities to be aligned to elements of the strategic plan, and then you evaluate your budget based on that. So things that are not clearly aligned to a strategy or tactic, they score lower and fall off.
Yeah. Has this concept, from your research and involvement in this, Jason, has it been implemented organizationally, systemic-wide, yeah, in a large organization like Jeopardy?
Most of the places that are doing deliverology is at state levels. So it's an entire state, like Oklahoma or Kansas, are doing this kind of work. So the Education Delivery Institute has a close relationship with a Council of Chief State School Officers. So those are all the state chiefs from each state. So it's actually unusual that you see a district doing it. Eagle was one of the first districts in the country that they piloted it with to see would the method work in a district.
What did you all learn from that?
We learned that we, much like you guys, when we started out, we had a lot of lofty aspirations that were not clearly defined. And then over time, it took us a couple of years, but we had to get really sharp about what we mean by that. And we made some mistakes along the way. There were things that we had, like we tend to do in education, we had way too many goals, way too many tactics. It was this really broad stuff. We're trying to boil the ocean, and we had to back up and say, let's keep narrowing this down and get back to what Levin was talking about. So I think it took us 3 years to get to that. I do. So I mean, now you get the benefit of my mistakes, right? I know not to do that, so I'm going to push us to be really precise.
But I think what it also does is it makes sure that we're operating up at the vision mission level and not so much down, because every time we dive down into the strategy tactic level,
it's hard.
We're creating a whole mass of work that may not be aligned at the higher level.
So, Ron, in more direct response to your question, Denver Public Schools has developed a delivery unit within them that is focused on this. Jeffco doesn't have a delivery unit. That's the deliverology term. So we had one person, we had a chief strategy officer that was doing this. I think Denver has 8 or 10 people that are doing this kind of work. We worked with them some, so they came up and saw our procedures and routines and took that back. I don't know what they've done with it at Denver, but more directly to your question, there's a similar sort of model that's operating at DPS right now.
Can I ask, when it comes to some of the couple of elephants that were mentioned, what I wonder about, and this is maybe to your point of staying, making sure that our work as a board lives at the vision mission level, there are some pieces of work moving forward. I don't know how they or if they tie into the strategic plan as it's written, but I know they're kind of realities that we're navigating in some form. Mm. So when it comes to things like facilities issues, or when it comes to things like middle school transition, how help me understand how those issues connect with the work of the vision of for the school system.
So we're probably going to have some kind of strategy around quality facilities, mm-hmm, right? So that creates
education
or operations or something, yeah, right? And so that creates the opportunity for you to get a stock take presentation on how are we doing with, mm-hmm, you know, safe and quality learning environments. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have to have some kind of measure around that. We'll have to define an aspiration. We'll have to look at what we can do in terms of budgets. You know, Steve and the team that work on facilities will be able to come in and talk to you about the challenges they have. And mm-hmm, so that's kind of how you would take, mm-hmm, that sort of issue. When it comes to something like, you know, on the way up here, Ron and I were in the front seat talking about some of the kind of time bound. They're important, but they're not necessarily strategic stuff, mm-hmm, that we're dealing with now. School closures, Wheat Ridge Gifted Talent Program, sixth grade transition. I'm not sure those are really strategic, right? Like, we solve all that. I'm not sure we've really moved the ball forward strategically, but there's nevertheless stuff that we have to manage, and the stuff that we have to get through and do well. So there will be things that come up in the course of doing business that we just have to attend to. Just like in the course of your businesses and your daily lives, I mean, there's the stuff that you really want to be working on and the stuff you have to do every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things that I know in my experience, and I'm sure this is the case for the board members, is that often that's the point of pain or interest or pain or passion, mm-hmm, for families, because that's what their students are living through. So making sure that we as a team are really clear on what it is that's happening and why and how to connect people so that we can support good work that isn't necessarily the 30,000 foot view, because we're going to be engaged with a community that has a lot of on the ground
The real danger is you allow that stuff, and I'm not saying it's not important, but it becomes the only thing that you do. And so you're always dealing with
it. And then we're not making progress on the strategic plan. We're not. We're getting muddled down in that issue or that thing.
And the strategic plan is not an expression of our priority values.
Right, right.
You know, what are our priority values?
So when you get to the
schedule
of sort of when stock takes happen and the presentations happen, it forces you to say, I don't care what's going on, we're going to talk about educator quality tonight. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to talk about the tasks that our students are engaged in tonight. Or we're going to talk about college and career readiness tonight. So you force yourself to have, again, that routine. Practice of working on the things that are
that
the most
are big,
important.
That are on our inner.
Because otherwise, the other stuff will eat you alive. Mm-hmm. We all know that it does.
Yeah. Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
So it's around noon, I think.
12:15.
Okay. And we've covered item one on our agenda.
I think two.
Right.
Strategic planning and visioning.
Strategic plan. What do we want to do? We can check in and see about lunch, and then I think the other issues are they're not as complex as this is, and this really was, I think, where we wanted to spend most of the time. But we can start processing through, you know, my goals for this year, evaluation of me, and then talk some about, you know, what the communication systems that we have in place as an organization. But how should we structure the rest of our time?
Well, I would like the opportunity to talk about the things that we have in mind. I think all of us feel as though the last couple of years has been a lot of firefighting, and I think we have ideas about where, in a big picture, we would like to focus our efforts. What are the boulders?
Right.
Mm-hmm. What are the boulders? So I think I like the opportunity.
Okay, we can get into that when, maybe let's take a break. I'll check in on lunch and see where we are on that. If they're not quite ready for us, we can launch right into my goals, my evaluation process, and which I think we'll get to that. So let's do that. Let's take a break and
okay.
See where we are.
This is really
okay.
Fun. Yeah.
Thank you for facilitating that.